the song was played for about 4 minutes.
Oh! All right, company, we gonna set this one up for Karen. Y'all ready? Put your hands together. Come on. Ah. Speak about your words. Power of life and death is in your words. Your words create your reality. Come on, y'all. Tell the story.
My words have power.
Yeah.
Your challenge under your feet. Those same words.
Go on and speak it.
I have been given the authority.
God gave you dominion.
I can move mountains by the words that I speak.
Yes, you can.
By the power invested in me.
God gave you power.
I can speak God's favor invested on me.
Decree the favor.
I know my word.
Your word.
My word.
God, what?
Power.
I hear you. Everybody, come on. Put your hands together like this. Yeah. All right, Karen. You got it.
My words have power.
My words have power.
To defeat the enemy.
To defeat the enemy.
Those same words have power.
The same words.
Life and prosperity. I have been given the authority.
Yes, I am.
Mountains by the words that I see.
Yes, I can.
By the power invested.
Amen, amen. Praise the Lord. I know somebody was getting their praise on tonight. Speak it and believe it. You shall have what you say. I am Elder Felicia, your host for tonight. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Stay on Purpose broadcast. We bless God for each and every one of you tuning in on tonight from wherever you may be in the world, in the prison, in a rehab, in your home, in a place of worship, at work, on break, in the break room, in the car, wherever you are, we thank God for you. And we appreciate you taking out time out of your busy schedule to tune in to the Faith Ambassador Staying on Purpose broadcast. We have an anointed, dynamic woman bringing the word on tonight. And I expect God, I don't know about you, but I expect God, I expect to hear from him on tonight. At this time, we're going to bring our very own Elder Britton with a prayer. After her comes our very own Evangelist Stephanie with the scripture, and then I'll be back with the announcement. Elder Britton.
God bless you. Father God, in the name of Jesus, God, we come before you today, God, as humbly as we know how, God. We come thanking you in advance, God, for all that you have done, God, all that you are that you have in store for us, God. God, we thank you right now, God, for every listener that's on the broadcast on tonight, God. God, whether it's through wherever they may be, God, whoever they may be, God, we ask your continued blessings upon them, God. God, we ask that you bless them, God, from the crown of their head to the sole of their feet, God. God, even for the speaker on tonight, God. God, we ask that you would allow them to bring forth the word in a way that that the listeners will be able to feast off of it, not just on tonight, not just on today, but the remaining of the week. Father, we thank you right now, God. God, we ask your blessings upon every minister, every pastor, every evangelist that's on the broadcast on tonight, God. God, we ask that you bless the founder of this ministry, God. God, we ask that you cover him and protect him from all hurt, harm, or danger, God. God, we come against the adversary right now in the name of Jesus, God. God, we knock down every stronghold. We pull down every stronghold. Every master king curses, we pull it down right now in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you and we bless you because we know that it's all done. Lord, we ask your continued blessings upon each and every one of us, God. God, your word said that when we come together in prayer, God, for your people, if they come in all in one agreement, God, that you're in the midst. And God, we know that there's more than one that's in the midst on tonight, God. And God, we know that you're already here. And Father, we thank you and we bless you right now. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Evangelist Stephanie.
Amen. I'll be coming from Psalm 149th chapter, starting at the first verse, and it reads, "Praise ye the Lord. Sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise in the congregation of saints. Let Israel rejoice in him that made him. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Let them praise his name in the dance. Let them sing praises unto him with the timbrel and harp. For the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation." May the Lord add a blessing to his red word.
Amen. Thank you so much, Elder Britton, for that powerful prayer. And thank you so much for that sharing of the word, Evangelist Stephanie. We thank God for both of you, people of God. We ask that you keep the chief apostle lifted up in prayer for the next, especially targeting for the next 8 days, for the next 8 days. Let's bombard heaven on his behalf. Also quoting Isaiah 54 and 17 at some point in your prayer, we thank you so much for interceding on his behalf and the ministry's behalf. Our announcements, we of course invite you to be a part of Faith Ambassadors, a movement, not just the ministry. We ask that you, if you have any questions and if you would like to become a part, you can email us at faithambassadors247@gmail.com. You can check us out on the website, faithambassadors247.com. faithambassadors247.com. You can email us there. You can tithe. You can sow. as well. Check us out on Facebook. You can find us under Daniel Faith Ambassador. Like one page and join the other. As well, we do have a youth resurgence page for those that are young in Christ and would like to dialogue on that page. You can check us out on that page as well on Facebook. Follow the Chief Apostle on Periscope at Prophet Bishop Daniel. It's his handle at Prophet Bishop Dan. Join us Monday through Thursday night, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. Monday night is our Staying on Purpose broadcast. Tuesday night is our women's ministry. Wednesday night is our youth ministry for those young in Christ and those that need encouragement in God and those that are believers but just need a Holy Ghost boost in His Word. As well, Thursday night is our School of the Prophets. Again, we thank God for each and every one of you. If you would take the time while this next song is going forth in ministry, if you would take the time to invite on your social media, on your contacts, get somebody on the line to hear what thus said the Lord through the woman of God. After this song, then I will introduce to some and present to other my friend and sister in the Lord, Rosalind Smith.
Find your place of worship. Look into your pain and find your praise. Every low place in your life prepared you for your high place. Every tear you cried is water for the garden of your victory. And even though you're in the valley, victory comes through your adversity. Find your place of worship. Go. Find your place of worship. Look into your pain and find your praise. Every in your life prepare you for your high place, and every tear you cried was water for the garden of your victory. Even though you're in the valley, victory comes through your adversity. You're in the valley, victory comes through your adversity. Even though you're in the valley, victory comes through your adversity. Go find your place of worship. Worship. I found mine, now I can say, holy, holy, holy is the Lamb. Righteous, 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 righteous. Lovely, lovely,
lovely, lovely, lovely. Our God is lovely, lovely.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you so much for inviting people of God. At this time, she's a woman of God. She's a wife. She's a mother. I call her my laughter minister. When I first met her on Periscope, the first comment I remember her giving was ha 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 and LOL. And ever since then, I've come to learn that that is her ministry. She brings laughter, she brings joy, she brings excitement to wherever she is, whomever she's talking to. Definitely anointed woman of God. She is the wife of Prophet D. Emmanuel, who has also been a blessing to the ministry and brought powerful words on this broadcast. So without further ado, I present to some and introduce to others none other than Rosalyn Smith. Woman of God, are you there? So the mute ministry is let go.
Praise God.
Amen.
See?
Praise God. Praise the Most High God. Hallelujah. Glory to the Most High God. Lord, we love you and we adore you. We magnify your holy name. We give you all honor and praise and all laughter unto you, Father God. And we just thank you, Lord God. Thank you, everyone, for listening in on the broadcast. Thank you, Minister Felicia, for inviting me and having me out to discuss today what the Lord has laid on my heart about wisdom and leadership and choosing the right leader. And so today I would like to discuss, who is your leader? Do you know who your leader is? Have you chosen a leader? Do you know what leadership I'm talking about? The leader I'm discussing is our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ, our Redeemer, our Lord and Savior. That's the leader I'm talking about tonight. Have you chosen him as the leader and Lord over your life? Is Lord over your life? Is he your leader over your life? Have you chosen him for salvation? Have you chosen him to be obedient to? Have you chosen him to restore you? Have you chosen him to heal you? Have you chosen him to lead and guide your pathway? Tonight we're talking about Jesus the Christ, the great Jesus Christ. And in order for you to find him as your leader, you have to be aware. You need to be self-aware and be aware of what is your making. And the first choice is to accept him as your Lord and Savior. And after you have accepted him as your Lord and Savior, then you must begin to live, breathe, and eat of his word. You must live like him. And how do you live like him? Well, the New Testament tells us the accounts of Jesus and how Jesus would want us to live. He gives us many stories through his apostles, through the Gospels, which is Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And in those accounts of the Bible, he will express himself through those writings of how you need to live as a Christian, as a new believer, or as a current believer. And so we have to be aware at all times who Christ is and who Christ represents to us in our lives, who are we serving? Are we serving God? Are we serving our own selves? Are we serving our parents? Are we serving society? Who are we serving? And we should always be serving Christ first. He should be first in all decisions we make. When we make a decision, those decisions should come from Christ. And what does that look like? That looks like you would pray to God and ask him for guidance. And, of course, Jesus is the Son of God. And so they're one and the same. And so when you pray, you ask the Lord, you know, Lord, which direction should I be going into? You know, where should I be going this time in my life? Can you show me a sign? Can you give me guidance? Can someone speak a word to me to let me know where I need to go? But the first thing you need to be is self-aware. And if you're self-aware, you'll know, am I focused on Christ? Or am I focused on my own needs and my own needs only? I say that I'm a believer, or I would like to be a believer, but I'm always be aware of, you know, who are you focused on? Who are you serving? You need to use that awareness to find the center of who Christ needs to be in you. So first of all, you need to be aware. You need to be awake. You need to be alive in Christ, and do not be dead, but be alive in him. We need to have our identity in Christ Jesus. And so if we're self-aware, then we are aware that our identity is in him. And it's wise, it's wisdom to know and be aware of who Christ is. And be aware of, is he actually leading me each day? You know, we can ask for guidance. We can ask for help from God and pray, lead us and guide us each day to forgive us of our sins. We always want to repent and ask God to forgive us of our sins. Also, you want to be aware of, are you serving him? You know, how can you serve him? You know, your serving may be praying for others. Your serving may be being kind to someone. Your serving may be asking someone, have they accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior? And so those are different ways, you know, that you can serve him. You can see what gifts that you have through prayer and through your leadership in your church on what kind of things can I do to serve? You know, can I usher? Can I sing in the choir? You know, can I be on the prayer ministry? But if you're not in a church, you know, you can serve God by asking him what you need, what he needs you to do, and you can utilize your gifts that you have to honor him. You know, if it's artwork, you know, you can have, you know, give artwork dedicated to him. You know, you can resemblances of him. But our awareness of who we are, those gifts that we have, aware, those gifts are to honor God. So everything that we're good at, if we rap, then we rap unto the Lord. If we sing, we sing unto the Lord. So everything that God has given us is to be given back to him. And so that self-awareness is, this is who I am. I am a Christian, and I'm using my skill set. I'm using my abilities. I'm using my gifting for the Lord. And one of the key things I want to discuss, that was my opening, is I want to discuss 2 Chronicles chapter 1, and I want to kind of go through chapter 1 of Chronicles and kind of discuss with you what I've been learning about the Lord through Solomon. And Solomon was David's son. And he was the son of David, and he had been promised to be king after David had passed. And so in that promise, Solomon was a very young man, and he was probably, they think, about 13 years old. And so in the scripture, it talks about in 2 Chronicles 1 that Solomon had went to the Lord, and he had asked the Lord God for help. And so I want to start with verse 1. It says, Solomon, son of David, took firm control of his kingdom, for the Lord his God was with him and made him very powerful. So Solomon, already the son of David, he knew that he was going to take the kingdom. And it was the kingdom of Israel. And so when he decided he was going to obey what his father had already told him that God had said he would do, he took firm control of it. So when God gives you a gift, you need to take firm control of your gift. If your gift is to write, you take firm control of that gift, and you begin to use that gift for the Lord's purpose. And so he took firm control of his kingdom, for the Lord his God was with him and made him very powerful. So we know that through his gift, he was made powerful. And then it says in verse 2, it says, Solomon called together all the leaders of Israel, the generals and captains of the army, the judges and all the politicians and clan leaders. Then he led the entire assembly to the place of worship of Gibeon, for God's tabernacle was located there. So Solomon took all his leaders, all the people that were under him, the generals and captains of the army, and he went to the place where God could be found. For us, it would be that we would go before the Lord, and we would go maybe to the church, or we could have an altar in our homes where we would go before the Lord and pray about what he has given us. Again, if I said if it was the gift of writing, we would take that and lay it before the Lord and say, Lord, what should I do with this gift? It goes on in the text, and it talks about how Solomon had went before the Lord, and he had given 1,000 offerings unto the Lord. And what most of us know, 1,000 of anything, even today, is a lot. And so he went to the Lord, and he humbled himself. He went to the place where God would know that he was just focused on him, and he laid his request before him, asking him what to do with the people of Israel. He goes on to say that these are your people, and so your people I want to have good rulership over. Please tell me what to do with your people, with your gift you have given me of being the king. And so that's how we also can give back to the Lord our gift and take it before the Lord and say, I want to use this gift. I know you've given it to me. I would like to be able to use this gift to honor and to praise you in all the ways. I want to be able to acknowledge you and establish myself in who you say that I am. So later, if you look at verse 7, after Solomon had went to the Lord God and offered 1,000 of burnt offerings, that night God appeared to Solomon and said, what do you want? Ask and I would give it to you. So Solomon, in verse 8, Solomon replied to God, you showed great and faithful love to David, my father, and now you have made me king in his place. Oh, Lord God, please continue to keep your promise to David, my father, for you have made me king over a people as numerous as the dust of the earth. Give me the wisdom and knowledge to lead them properly. For who could possibly govern this great people of yours? And so Solomon basically was going to the Lord, and he wanted direction. He wanted to honor God, but he also knew that his gift of being the king was to only be powerful if he had God's blessing. And so we have to remember that in our own lives, that when we have a certain gift of singing or dancing, writing or preaching or ministering, that our gift needs to be brought before the Lord, and that that gift should sustain the works of God. In every gift that we have, God wants us to honor him with that gift. If we look on at verse 11, God said to Solomon, and now this is God's reply to Solomon, because your greatest desire is to help your people, and you did not riot or ask for wealth or riches or fame or even death of your enemies or a long life, but rather you ask for wisdom and knowledge to properly govern my people. So Solomon not only asked for wisdom, but he also asked for knowledge. Well, it's great to have wisdom, and wisdom helps us in every function of our lives. But knowledge, you need to also have knowledge of maybe certain programs or certain activities so that you can use your gift. So he knew not only to ask for wisdom, but he asked for knowledge because he needed to know, have the knowledge of how these people that he was going to govern, how do they function? How do they think? How do they interact? He needed to know how to interact with other kingdoms. And so he had to have the knowledge. And then he could use the wisdom, which is the key thing. He was able to use the kingdom, the wisdom for the kingdom in order to be able to, let's see, how do I now use the best ways in managing this kingdom? He would have wisdom to be able to utilize that. And so it just goes on and on and talks about, you know, once God had basically ordained him or had anointed him, had led him and given him, you know, honor in his request, God basically said, you know, he would give him even riches and he would give him fame and, you know, he would give him long life, you know, he would give him all the things even that he didn't even ask for because he had asked for wisdom. And so if you read on in that text, that's what it talks about. But remembering the key points of what I'm coming here to say is basically you have to be self-aware. And to be self-aware is to know first who is your leader. Solomon knew who his leader was. He knew that God was his leader. He knew that from the beginning, that God was his leader. And he also knew that his father David had followed God. And so he believed what his father said. And David had also been told that, you know, many centuries, many years later, that Jesus would come in David's lineage. So that's the power of David telling Solomon that he would be king, that God had told him he would be king. But what's even more powerful is that Jesus came through this lineage of David and Solomon. So everyone, we all affect each other in our self-awareness. If we're self-aware, then we all know that what we do, what our gifts are, will affect not only us, around us, and the people in the next generation. So it is important to be aware of who our leader is. Our leader should be Jesus the Christ, for he is the Son of the living God. And when you know that, then all blessings can come unto you. Any battle that you get into, it is the Lord's battle. Any sickness that you come to, it is the Lord's battle. Any blessing that you receive, it comes from the Lord. And so knowing who your leader is can make you more in truth. It can make you a better believer. It can make you a better person. It can make you better. We have to be led of the Holy Spirit, and you'll find that in Acts 1 and 2, that the Holy Spirit leads you to all truth. And so you have to ask for the Holy Spirit to lead you. You can ask for the Holy Spirit to enter into your body. The Holy Spirit is what activates all the gifting of the Lord. And as we know, the supreme leader is God himself. We know that from Genesis 1 and 2, that in the beginning he was. And he created the heavens and the earth. He created all mankind. And in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word was Jesus. Jesus is the Word. He's the living Word. And I guess I'd like to leave you with a few things. Basically, is these are some steps to becoming a great leader of Christ and a good follower of Christ. First of all, you need to honor God. As you see in 2 Chronicles 1, Solomon first honors God by going and praying before him. Two, you must pray to God. You see that Solomon not only honored God with his offering, but he also went before and prayed to God. Three, and I have five of them, three, ask for help. Solomon asked for help. And four, wait until God answers. Once you have done those things, wait till you hear from God. Don't just go and do, but wait till you hear from God. And five, get to work. In the end, Solomon, once God had given him his orders, Solomon immediately goes and starts establishing the kingdom of Israel. He established the kingdom. We must get to work. And in order to get to work, you have to be self-aware in who Christ is. Be aware, be alive. Don't be dead in your sin, but be alive. Be alive and not dead. Be awake. Be alive in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen, woman of God. Thank you so much for that impactful word of the Lord.
Amen, amen.
Staying on point, focusing on God. Woman of God, give me those last five points again. I want to make sure we got it. We got it.
Okay, the last five that I mentioned, and I know I mentioned a lot, is one, you need to honor God.
Mm-hmm.
And in order to see to honor God, you can find all this in 2 Chronicles 1. Look at the Bible in what Solomon did, and we can do that for our lives. So one is to honor God. Two is to pray to God.
Mm-hmm.
Three is to ask for help. Four is wait until God answers. And five, get to work.
Amen. I started laughing when you got to the, you were good all the way up until you got to the ask for help part. Yeah, I struggled with that for a while. You know, I know we all have to some degree. Maybe somebody just, you know, not as shy as I was. Maybe they, you never had a problem asking for help. I've had some issues with asking for help. Well, even in prayer, I've had some, Lord, I don't know if I really can ask you for this. You know what, I ain't going to even ask. But that's not a good thing. The word tells us that we have not because we ask not, or we ask amiss, which means you come like, I know you ain't going to give it to me, but I'm going to ask anyway. You know, that's like one of my children coming up. Ma, I know you ain't got no money, but I would like these gym shoes, you know, but I know you ain't got no money. You just messed it all up for yourself. You don't know what I have. You don't know what can be gotten. You don't know the avenues by which things can come through. So don't knock yourself out the box because you won't ask for help, or you come believing that it can't be done. Lord have mercy. Before you even get there.
Yeah. I believe most of us have that problem of asking for help. And, you know, recently I've been taking classes recently, and I've had to ask for help. I've asked so many people for help, you know, and there would be a time that I would have tried to struggle all by myself trying to figure something out. And something as simple as school, you know, you can even ask for help. You know, you can ask for help. Say, for instance, your bill is due and you don't have enough money. You can call the electric company and say, look, I don't have it. Do you have a program for me that I can get assistance?
Come on.
Or
you're helping somebody. You're helping somebody.
Right. Can I have more time? Because you could say, well, I've always paid my bills on time. I don't know what it's like to not pay my bill. So then the time that it happens, we need to ask for help. You know, you may need a ride somewhere to work. But if you don't tell somebody at work or ask somebody at work to, you know, can you pick me up or ask your neighbor, then you will never know
to ask for help.
Those are simple things you say, and that's why I say pray, because if you pray, God can give you wisdom, you know, like, oh, I never thought about asking somebody else. Right.
Yep. Or if you did, you canceled out your own blessing in your mind first, saying they don't have the time, they won't want to do it, or what if they say no? It's not your job to go inside somebody else's thoughts and imagination and figure out what they're going to say and give an answer before you've even asked the question. You just defeated your own self. So let us go in faith. That is the whole point. We have to operate by faith. We have to know that after we've prayed, or when we pray, we say, okay, Lord, I have a need. I know that you supply needs through people. So because you supply needs through people, I need to know where my yes is. I need to know where my open door is. I need to know what this blessing is that you have for me.
Yeah.
Because if you don't ask him first, he won't show you the way. Instead of you sitting over there for 3 days trying to figure it out, when all you had to do was ask God.
Amen.
And then allow the Holy Spirit to lead and guide you where you needed to go, and hearing his voice, knowing his voice and hearing his voice, and then follow the instructions that he gives you to the letter, not adding or taking away, not one bit.
Wow, powerful.
And so the other part is that wait. I had to touch that. I need us to touch on that wait part. Because we do not like to wait. We have, once the microwave came out, oh my goodness gracious, Jesus help us. Now we want God to be microwavable. And he said, no, I'm not. I do instant things, as you see in my word. I do quick things. I do in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye things. However, there are some times when you will have to go through the process. You will have to sit in the oven. of life.
Ooh,
and wait.
The oven.
There are some times when you will have to, whether it's the oven or the freezer, because it can get cold out here sometimes in this walk. Or at least we feel like it's cold. We feel like we by ourselves. We feel like nobody cares. It's a feeling. And so we don't want to wait. But that makes the process even harder. And sometimes I found, for me, I don't know about anybody else, but sometimes I found that the wait gets longer the more anxious I am. Because I want God to hurry up and show me, tell me, take me, push me, pull me, drag me. Do it right now, God. Come on, I need you. You know, wait a minute. Rent is due on the 1st. It is the 29th and ain't no money, Jesus. Come on.
Right.
So I've said before, he's a 1201 God. Because you try to tell him to come at 1159, he said, nah, I'll let you sweat it out. I'm coming at 1202.
Well, the waiting is the building of your faith. You know, it's the building of your faith when you're waiting on him.
On.
What you're saying is, I have faith that he's going to answer me. I have faith he is more than sufficient for my life. I
Come
have
on.
Faith that he is, that he says he is. He says, try me. He tells you to try him. Test me.
Yes.
He says, test me, meaning I will prove myself.
And see.
And then he says, I am not man that I should lie. So if he says that you can trust him, that you can test him, that means he's going to answer you. And I think a lot of times we don't really believe or have the faith or wait for him to know that he will answer us. He will answer. He will answer.
No matter how he answers, It's just sometimes it ain't exactly how we imagined it in our imagination.
Exactly.
You know, we thought he was going to come, you know, that bonus on, you know, last week or in the next 2 months. You know, that bonus coming. So, you know, I got this vacation plan. I know you're going to come through, God, and then something happened with a company like, wait a minute. We decided to not give y'all $1,000. I'm sorry, we only going to give y'all $300 this year.
Ooh.
So you like, what? Wait a minute. But my vacation is $1,200. I only needed $200 more. Wait a minute.
Right. Well, and it's funny to say that because me and my husband just got off of vacation, and we thought we were going to have this amount set aside, and we had to trust God at the last minute. I think it was the day before. I'm like, oh my goodness, the day before. You know, I'm thinking everything's planned, everything's taken care of. And yet God answered. It wasn't even the way I thought he would answer, but he answered.
Do it matter how he answered or that he answered?
That he answered.
I gotta pull the women of God in. Elder Britton, let me make sure I don't have you muted. If you are available, come on, jump in. Evangelist Stephanie, that weight portion. Hold on. All right. Elder Britton, Evangelist Stephanie.
Well, y'all were talking so good. I was just sitting here taking mental notes and inventory of myself, which is the good thing about this dynamic word. It causes you to take inventory. But the weight, I think someone mentioned it, you know, as a believer, That's where the issue comes in. A lot of times is just if God takes too long, and in reference to what our too long is,
right,
you know, because
right.
as it was said,
well,
you know, we live
be
in
late.
A,
God
right.
be late. Oh,
you know what I mean? Not understanding that whatever God does, He does it well. One of the things yeah. I tell people is that if God has ever done anything for you, you can never question again whether He can or whether He will. Right?
Yes,
because
yes.
you've already seen Him in action in one form or another. So what we need to do is we need to get our weight under control. And, you know, He
come
likes
on,
to come
yeah.
with your back up against the wall in the 11th hour.
That's
but
good,
the reason
good,
He does
good.
That
see, see,
is
see.
Because it's to keep for anybody else from being able to say they did it or to keep you from being
yes.
able to say that you
oh
played any
God.
Role in it.
Yes.
That's why He put Adam to sleep when He created Eve so that Adam couldn't say that he had any role in it. So God does us
come
the
on,
same
Kim.
Way. So when
my
the woman
God,
of God said that it's good in our weight, that's exactly right because it builds our faith and it puts us in a position that we have no other choice but to trust God. It's either trust Him or
come
do
on,
something different and do something different ain't going to work, so you might as well trust Him.
It's your life. It's going to mess them up and then you be further back than you were
right.
when you were sitting there waiting.
Right. Yeah, so, yeah, that, I was getting there. I was listening like, yes.
Lord, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord.
Lord.
I'm super excited. And the scripture that comes to mind is be anxious for nothing, but in everything,
amen.
Do prayer, thanksgiving, make your request.
Yes,
Lord.
Lord.
You make your request to be made known unto God. And when, if you just can hold on and in the midst of the wait, if you take your focus off of the situation, the person, the circumstances, whatever you're going through, the problem, and begin to magnify. This is what God dropped in my spirit the other day. Andrea, why are you not praising me while you're waiting? Praise takes your faith to a whole other level. It says to God, I trust you, I believe you, and to such a degree that I'm going to begin to thank you and worship you in advance, on credit, till it manifests, and even after. So while I wait, praise Him. While I wait, I worship Him, knowing
Jesus.
That whichever way He decides to turn it, it's still going to be Romans 8:28, for my good and for His glory. Whatever
wow.
He decides to do, whatever He tells me to do, in the end, it will be for my good and for His glory.
Amen. Amen. That's good. That's good.
Ooh, hallelujah. Mm. Elder Britton, are you there? Maybe she might be still in class. I know she would
I'm
have
out of class. I actually had to stop because I'm about to go into an area where I'm going to lose signal. And I was listening, and as I was listening, my phone was going in and out. So the only thing I keep hearing everybody say was wait. And I'm like, okay, now I hate to interpret this myself because once I get started, my weight may be different. But, you know, there's something that God, and it's a message that God gave me, and I'm going to bring, I'm studying on it because he was showing me, and the woman of God a few minutes ago was talking about Adam and Eve. But when Adam and Eve, and it was always a question to me, why didn't God interfere when Eve was about to commit, do what she wasn't supposed to do? And I'm like, okay. And I thought about it. Okay, our bodies, we came from the ground. So in order for God to do anything, I'm not even going to get all the way into it because it's going to start a whole different a message around the table, and we're going to be on this phone all night. But I thought about it. But if you think about it, God sent his son, Jesus. So with the body, God wouldn't do anything unless he has a body to do it with, and it may sound like it doesn't make any sense right now because I'm still studying, but I'll give you an example. When was it Moses, when God told him to stretch out his rod and command the when God told Moses to do that, God didn't do it? He needs a body. And when he has a body, give God permission, then God will, we're giving God the authority. He has the power, but we have the authority. When we tell him, okay, God, what you want me to do? He going to say, okay, close it. I need you to stretch forth your rod. He didn't do it until Moses told him, so he closed, he stretched his rod, and he commanded, but then it still didn't close. It was still open. So he said, I need you to stretch forth your rod and command it to close. And that's when God did it. And I say that to say, God needs a body to come in order for us to get what he needs us to do. He already did everything, but he needs a body to work through, to use us, to take forth the word or to do what he has us to set out to do. And all of that it comes with prayer. God needs everybody to come together in prayer for one situation. When everybody comes together in a situation,
come on.
Y'all, somebody bamming on my door.
No.
The blood.
The blood. Okay. It's always like that, damning on my door, but my dog's loose. And one thing about dogs, and that's just like humans, when you show fear, they gonna automatically already know they got you. That's just like the enemy. When you allow the enemy to see that you fear, the enemy gonna keep striking at you. So I got 4 pit bulls, and everybody always so fearful. But these dogs, I'm like, if y'all stop being so fearful, they won't be barking and trying to come after y'all.
That's right.
But it's just so awesome how God works, and I love it. I love it because when everybody get on one court, and I know we were talking about waiting, and it's something about that waiting, and there's certain different things, scriptures in the Bible where God talk about waiting. And just like Pastor said, it's just like microwave. We don't want to wait. We want it to happen right then. But God is always on time. I don't care. It may look they're going to come get my car. Okay, well, you keep speaking, they're going to come and get the car, and they're going to come and get it. Instead of we worshiping and praising and thanking God, we so anxious and antsy, sitting like, man, God ain't going to do it. He said he'll show up. He said he going to this, and he said he going to that. Just murmuring and complaining, just like the Israelites, just steady, this valley, in the valley, and just complaining and murmuring instead of body in the midst of the valley, waiting on God. Just praise God and give him all the glory. I came in on the end part of it, but is this something that God is giving me to just minister? And I'm always sound like I'm jumping from here to there. But y'all, sometimes the word be so good, I'll be like, God, I can't give it all at one time. So I have to say something, and then I'll jump to something else and come back to this. But I love it when the forum is open, because then you learn, and not learn, but you get more insight from everybody got a different insight about something. Everybody don't bring forth the word the same, but it's just one God. So it don't matter how you bring it forth, it's still going to be the same. It's going to be the same thing. It's just in different way. But I was listening, and like I said, all I keep hearing was wait. I don't know what the question was. All I hear was just wait on God. So I know that was for me, because I'm looking for God to do something, and I'm antsy about it. So, God, I'll wait on you. This word is for you. So it's just awesome. It's just awesome.
Amen.
It's awesome.
Amen. And we have literally run out of time, people of God. So next Monday, join us back. We will have another anointed, powerful woman of God on the line bringing the message.
Awesome.
Thank you so much, evangelist, prophet, doctor, teacher, Rosalind Smith, for that wonderful, powerful word from the Lord. We bless God for you. People of God, we love you. Tomorrow, women's ministry, come back. We love you, and don't you forget it.
God bless.
God bless.
God bless.
Amen.
Y'all help me say it. God.